Anyway, is there any, specific strategy that you need? Mean anything at this point in time?
No, it was just me, prepare notes about that. What he's going to do, what I'm saying, the whole, our campaign.
How does California look?
Well, there's no question, it's a toss-up. Running about even, but I'm up with the president.
30 seconds, please.
Which of you is more optimistic?
I'm equally optimistic, I think I just checked it out. I think I'm optimistic about 9.5 on a scale of 10.
Which is one? Senator Dole, you're going to carry Colorado figures, sir?
I think so. It's very, again, it's very close. I think we're going to carry Colorado. Kansas.
Why has Colorado been targeted for all these last few days of campaigning?
Because we need the electoral votes.
Even the seven that we have to offer.
Oh, sure, everyone I thought it was a pretty good margin.
Light, please. Thank you, gentlemen.
Howard, he speaks and everybody moves.
We throw it on one liner.
Let's wait a second. Let's wait one second.
Okay, fellas. Thank you very much.
Introduce Senator Alan Kolstad from Chester, Montana, a young gentleman who has served in the House of Representatives in the Montana State Senate, represents the Republicans very well, a Republican leader here to introduce our distinguished guest, Alan Kolstad.
Thank you, Jack. Fellow Montanans and friends all, needless to say, I am deeply honored today to have been asked to introduce the featured speaker. I feel as a farm boy from the Golden Triangle of Montana, this is certainly an occasion that I shall never forget. But before we get into the main introduction, I just want to make one brief comment, and that is in regard to the great slate of candidates the Republican Party has offered this year from the legislature to the presidential level. I've had a unique opportunity in the past several years in the legislature to serve with every one of the opponents that are running for state and national office. And I can't think of a better reason to support the fine slate we have than that. We're certainly honored today to have with us one of the true leaders of our nation. Montana and Kansas have a lot in common, especially in the field of agriculture. And we are very happy that our speaker today is part of the national ticket this year. A war hero and former prosecutor, Senator Bob Dole of Kansas brings a record of impressive achievement to the Republican ticket in 1976. Our speaker was born July 22, 1923, in a small farming community of Russell, Kansas. He attended public schools in Russell and the University of Kansas, with the aim of becoming a country physician. Well, his dreams of a rural medical practice were cut short by World War II. He left college in 1943 to enlist in the United States Army, serving with the elite 10th Mountain Division in Italy. He was twice wounded and twice decorated for valor, the second time while helping a wounded comrade to safety. This act of heroism, which earned Bob Dole a cluster for his Silver Star, left him badly hurt. Two vertebrae were smashed. His arms and legs were paralyzed. He lost a kidney and suffered extensive lung damage. Dole spent 39 months in various hospitals recovering from his wounds. He overcame most of them, but a crippled arm, right arm, remains as a reminder of this ordeal. His dreams of a medical practice shattered, and Dole turned to other forms of public service. After receiving his bachelor's degree at the University of Arizona, and while working towards a law degree at Topeka's Washburn University, Dole was elected to the Kansas legislature at the age of 26. His own experience has made Dole especially sensitive to the needs of the handicapped Americans. He serves on the National Board of Sponsors of the American Medical Center in Denver, on the Board of Rehabilitation in the United States, and is an honorary member of the Board of the National Society of Autistic Children. Dole received the National Easter Seal Award in 1971 and was named Kappa Sigma Man of the Year in 1970. He has been selected as Outstanding Kansan to Overcome a Handicap by the Kansas Chapter of Disabled American Veterans. At this time, then, without any further comment, let's recognize the next Vice President of the United States with a warm Montana welcome.
This has been one of those days when we got up in Roswell, New Mexico, and got to the airport and found our plane was not covered with snow. It wasn't that deep, but there was a lot of snow on vital parts of the airplane, which we had to clean off, and it's made us late all day long. We missed our luncheon meeting in Denver altogether. We did greet Governor Reagan as he was leaving the airport, so we had a chance to say hello, and a very short strategy meeting, about 1 minute. But we're going to win. That's all the longer it takes. You know, we can just talk for 1 minute. Then we arrived at the airport, and there are probably 100 people wanting to say hello, and we just hate to walk away from those who've waited, but we knew there were others waiting here. And then as we pulled away into the motorcade, I saw Senator Curtis running toward the car, and we couldn't stop and say hello to Senator Curtis. Understand he's in Montana to help your candidate for Congress, and if you see Senator Curtis, stand, tell me, we weren't ignoring, we just couldn't stop because we were late. So, I'm very happy to be here. Happy to be in an area where you like pineapple juice better than peanut butter. I've been saying right along, it's a lot better for you. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, so you can keep that in mind the next several days. This campaign's just about over. President Ford called me this morning from Philadelphia. It was 7 o'clock there, which made it 5 o'clock in Roswell. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I was sleeping." But he was just leaving Philadelphia to go to work, and I guess he thought since I was number two, I should have been up a little earlier. But it's a great honor for me to have this opportunity to serve America, to serve those living in Montana and all across the country. I really believe that we're going to win this election because we have the right philosophy for Republicans and Democrats and independents across this state. I guess when Governor Carter came out here and talked about gun control, all the Democrat candidates had to go see their doctor. They were in a state of shock. And it took them a long time to overcome the damage he inflicted. In fact, I think the one candidate said it would kill us or kill him or whatever, politically, of course. And that indicates the kind of a philosophy that Governor Carter has. He is for gun control. Senator Mondale, that ultra-liberal candidate for vice president, is one of 16 senators who voted for registration of handguns and licensing of owners in the Senate. He's on record. The record's there, 1972. Don't need to take my word for it. And it's in their platform, just as many, many other things are in their platform, that I don't believe Republicans or Democrats or independents in the state of Montana really want or don't want at all. And so I hope there are Democrats in this audience. I hope there are conservative Democrats and independents looking for a place to go next Tuesday. So I would suggest in the next few minutes, if I can just take some of your time. We've talked a lot about taxes. There's been a lot of talk about tax reform. But really, the cruelest tax of all is inflation. Any way you slice it, when we have inflation at 5% or 10% or higher, and I might add that President Ford has cut it in half, but let's just take one simple example. It is the tax that robs consumers of the value of their money and turns paychecks into passports to the poorhouse. And by its very nature, it hits at those on fixed incomes and those with low income, the elderly, the handicapped, the uneducated, and those who must rely on welfare and government assistance for food to eat and clothes to wear. But it hits all of us in one way or another. It lowers our living standards, it threatens our jobs, and it bankrupts small business, and it also has a direct impact on those engaged in agriculture. It makes housewives and breadwinners alike fearful of buying. And as a result, the consumption of things you would like to buy go down, business cannot expand and grow, workers are laid off, and the tragic cycle of higher prices and reduced buying and more unemployment goes on until someone takes corrective action. And I think the American people understand. There are still some American people who believe that we can just spend and spend and spend. That's their philosophy. That's the old Roosevelt line. That's the old line of Harry Hopkins, just spend and spend, tax and tax and elect. And I guess you might say it's paid off for the Liberal Democrats. That's another way of saying they buy your vote with your tax dollar. When I listen to this baloney about Republicans lacking compassion and Democrats offering compassion and big spending programs, I frankly get a little annoyed. I believe that compassion is what comes from the human heart and goes to help and care for others. But the Democrat version of compassion comes right out of your wallet. That's their form of compassion. And this year, we're hearing the same old story. More big spending, more government intrusion into your life, and the results will be what it's always been: higher deficits, more inflation, more unemployment. And after having provided all that, They'll come back to you the next time around and say we need more government spending to solve the problem. It's like trying to cure cancer with more cancer. It just doesn't work. It never has worked. And I guess Great Britain is finding that out today. And my good friend, and I call him my good friend, Senator Mondale, we are friends. He votes yes and I vote no. And I don't suggest that he's always wrong, just most of the time. But he votes for every big spending program that comes along. That is, as long as it doesn't improve our defense posture, he votes to cut defense spending. He's voted against almost every new weapon system. And now he comes to you complaining about deficits, inflation, and talks about unemployment, and asks for your vote. And I know they like, in Democrat administrations, they always say, oh, look at the unemployment rate when we were in power. Governor Carter's referred to that in his debates with President Ford. He took some pride in pointing out how it was lower under the last Democrat administration. But one thing they don't mention, and one thing they don't like to mention, the fact that those low unemployment rates occurred when we were at war, taking all our young people out of the labor market and sending them overseas. But what we want is prosperity, and prosperity coupled with peace. That's the way to cure unemployment. And I would just say, as sincerely as I can, because of President Ford, we are at peace, and our economy is being restored. Prosperity is increasing and unemployment is dropping. And I say, oh yes, we're concerned about those who are unemployed, but we don't believe we turn the government loose and make the government the employer of last resort. We try to tie down inflation and cut down inflation and stimulate the private sector so those who find a job will have a job and not some dead-end job working for the federal government that leads to nowhere. And that's the Republican philosophy. That's the philosophy that attracts Democrats and independents to President Ford. And that's the philosophy that's going to win on next Tuesday. I want to take just one or two minutes to talk to the young men and women in this audience and their and the mothers and grandmothers, I guess, and I guess everyone that's in the audience, but, and that is talk about the word peace. You know, we take a lot for granted in America, and we're relieved and we find some comfort. We go home, you turn on your TV set at night or pick up the evening paper or turn on the radio. We're not bothered anymore about body counts, how many Americans were killed and how many of the enemy were killed. There are no announcements in Billings that some young man's going to be brought home next week for a memorial service. You don't find someone coming home from the hospital with an arm or leg missing or some in some other way maimed or wounded mentally or physically, because we're at peace. We want to stay at peace, but we sort of take it for granted. And we forget sometimes that peace just doesn't happen. We have to be strong. We have to be strong morally. We must have strong moral leadership, and we have it in President Ford. And we must be strong militarily, not just to spend your tax dollars at the Pentagon. I don't mean that at all. We don't want waste in the Pentagon. We don't want waste in defense or agriculture or anything else. But we've got to be strong. And we are strong. And this year, for the first time in almost 10 years, because of the personal efforts of President Ford, the Democrat Congress has increased the real growth in the defense budget, which means we're going to be able to maintain our strength When we sat down with the Russians to talk about arms limitations, we're going to be dealing from strength and not weakness. And we've got to deal from strength and not weakness. And so if there's any doubt in your mind about next Tuesday, just keep in mind that no one's being drafted. You can complete your education. If you're a young man, you can go to work and stay in your job. You're not going to be shuttled off to some far-off country or some army or navy or some other camp somewhere in America. And I think that means a great deal. It means a great deal to the mothers and the grandmothers and others who have a direct interest. And I don't know if anybody has a more direct interest than young Americans. So I say, look at Carter's comments on defense. In 1975, he said, let's cut the budget $15 billion in defense. In 1976, he said, well, let's cut it $5 to $7 billion. And he's saying that at the very time our Secretary of Defense is saying we have to increase the budget as much as maybe $18 billion. And I pointed up Senator Mondale probably has the strongest anti-defense record in the Senate of the United States, more anti-defense than Senator McGovern. And I think you ought to take a hard look at it. Where would we be today if the Senator Mondales prevailed in the United States Senate? What would our strength be? Would we be respected by our friends and by our potential foes overseas? I don't think so. And so I would just add that note. President Ford may not be perfect. He may have made mistakes. I know you don't like the embargo. I didn't like it either. But there are other overriding concerns, and I want to talk about the embargo in a second. One of those overriding concerns is peace for freedom, and that's all we ask, and strength for freedom, and that's all we ask. And we're going to have peace, and we're going to have freedom, because we have a president who understands the need for proper military strength and how to use it and how not to use it. And he doesn't telegraph in advance what he might do under any given occasion. Governor Reagan told me at that little brief visit we had, he'd addressed the crowd in Denver. He said he took that Eastern European statement made by President Ford, and he said it was a mistake. But he asked the audience how many Republicans were representing America at Potsdam. Whose administration was it when those secret arrangements were made concerning Eastern Europe and the divisions and what happened following World War II? Wasn't a Republican president. And my point is, and I made it all week, and I'm going to make it the rest of this week. Put it back into the House, and someone's going to be there the next 4 years who's concerned about all Americans and all those who want freedom, and all those who want peace. And that man is President Gerry Ford. So let the Democrats talk about Potsdam and Yalta when they talk about Eastern Europe. Then we hear a lot about tax reform. I don't know whether Governor Carter got around to that when he came to Montana. He said yesterday there might be tax cuts. It'd be almost inevitable if he's elected. Well, he's not going to be elected. But President Ford has advocated tax cuts for middle Americans. In fact, I offered an amendment on the Senate floor this year before I became the candidate for vice president, to raise a personal exemption from $750 to $1,000, and was defeated on a straight party line vote by the Democrats. They all voted against it. All but one or two. I think maybe one or two voted for it. I'm always so touched by Governor Carter when he talks about tax reform. And when he stood up in New York and said the national tax system is a disgrace. Then he rushed up next week back to New York. He met with some small businessmen there, Henry Ford, you know, Henry Ford and some other small businessmen. They met at a little luncheon club there. I guess McDonald's was filled, so they went to Club 21. And the bill was $1,500 and some for 50 fellas for lunch, just a hot dog probably, whatever. And all these small businessmen talked about the national tax system being a disgrace. And Governor Carter says, don't worry, it's going to be a year before I do anything anyway. And this is the same Governor Carter who had a tax liability in 1975 of $58,000, but he didn't pay $58,000. He took $41,000 off. That's called the investment tax credit, which is a good provision. It was totally legal. But when he was asked about that, he said, in a very serious tone, that's why we ought to reform our tax system. That was his answer. That was his answer. And Stan, one thing we need in the Senate of the United States are more conservative senators, and I'm glad you're going to win. Let me make just one more point, and that's agriculture. I served on a House committee for 8 years, and now I've been on the Senate committee for 8 years. I'm the ranking Republican on that committee. Again, I'm not an expert on everything, but I understand a little about agriculture. And President Ford has said to me that one of my responsibilities come January will be helping agriculture primarily in the field of exports. I didn't like the embargo either, and I said so at the time. And President Ford, I think, has made his position very, very clear. No more embargoes unless there's some extreme emergency. And let me add one thing to that. I guess George Meany played a role in that last embargo. They wouldn't load the ships. President Ford was under a lot of pressure. I didn't hear Senator Mondale or Governor Carter talking about embargoes then. Or not having embargoes, they wouldn't dare because George Meany wouldn't have liked it. The only Democrat senator I remember talking about embargoes was Senator McGovern. And you recall in 1972, George Meany didn't support George McGovern. And I just suggest that George Meany is going to have a great influence in that administration. Someone once asked Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? And if Carter gets elected, there are probably going to be two hotlines, one to Moscow and one to the AFL-CIO headquarters. That's the way it's going to be. Now, George Meany has a lot of influence, and as I said in our little debate with Mondale, he should have some influence, but he shouldn't dominate. He shouldn't dominate. He controls the Congress now. Our organized labor leaders, in effect, control the Congress. Let's don't give him the White House. Let's have some balance in Washington. And I just say there are all kinds of reasons. There are all kinds of reasons and many, many numbers of reasons why we ought to be supporting President Ford. I was surprised when Governor Carter said he was opposed to a constitutional amendment providing prayer in schools. He's for gun control. He wants to abolish right-to-work laws. He's supporting Proposition 14 out in California that give labor organizers the right to come on your private property for 3 hours a day to organize farm workers. He's for that. And where does it stop? And where does it stop? So I just say take a good hard look. Take a hard look at President Ford. Don't look too long because Tuesday's coming. Take a hard look at Carter. Take a look at what he said. He has about three positions on every issue, but try to read a couple of them before Tuesday. Remember one thing. It's your future. And I think, yes, I want Ford elected because he's a Republican. And I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. Don't worry about me. That's not so important. What is important is the kind of leadership we have. And that's why I appeal to Democrats and independents. And we're well ahead in the state of Montana. We're here to help Republican candidates. We're here to help those who have a moderate to conservative philosophy. And let me conclude by telling you this little bear story, since I'm at the School of the Battling Bears. This didn't happen in Montana, don't misunderstand me, but this bear walked into a bar and ordered a beer and plunked a $5 bill down on the counter. Well, of course, the bartender was just completely befuddled, and he ran back to the cooler and grabbed the beer out of the cooler, took the cap off, put it on the counter, took the $5, went back to the boss, said, "Boss, the bear just walked in, gave me $5 for beer, what should I do?" He said, "Well, give it back a nickel."